This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
My name is Andy, as I said. I'm 33 years old right now. I'm originally from Germany. I was born in a very small town called Haßfurt. I grew up there and then later on did the military service in Germany, the compulsory one, and also was part of a fire brigade in my hometown, a voluntary one for some time. I was an altar boy. Grew up in a Catholic environment, and later on I studied in a different city. Then I started working in Erlangen, which is near Nuremberg, and as a regional manager for Aldi stores. Later on did the same job in the UK, in Bournemouth and in Southampton for 6 months each. And then I decided I wanted to see something different and came to New Zealand in 2008, in February. And ever since stayed here. I initially only wanted to stay on a working holiday permit for 1 year. But as life plays out, I ran into the right man and fell in love with the country and still here 4 years, 4.5 years down the track.
When did you realize you were gay?
I realized when I was gay when I was about 12, 13 years old. However, I didn't realize that what I felt was called gay. I noticed that I found men more attractive than women, but that what I was feeling was called gay is something I only realized about 3 or 4 years later, because it was just a topic not being talked about at all. So I didn't know anything about sex, gay life, or any of that. I discovered all myself eventually.
If you didn't hear or see about gay life, how did you think you were? I mean, was that confusing to you, or was that...
Yes, of course it was confusing. And once I realized that I liked men and that being part of the Catholic Church, I knew it was seen as wrong there. So it was, of course, very hard for me. And I did hide it for a long time. And eventually, when I was about 22, 23, came to terms with it. And this is then when I also had my first love. And eventually started coming out step after step.
So how did you come to terms with it?
It was a process, really. My goal was, once I'm out of my little hometown, I thought I'm going to study, I'm going to be in a bigger town, and I can start meeting other gay people and start living my life. However, one thing played on the other. I was studying chemical engineering, which was quite hard, which took pretty much all of my time. And so I didn't really have time to start a gay life or find gay friends or find new friends. And that had an impact on my studies. I didn't really... I wasn't able to put everything in it. I was very unhappy. I was depressed. And so the study started to fail, and I kind of didn't achieve any of the two things I wanted to achieve in this bigger city, which was studying and living a gay life, starting to be the person who I am. And I reached almost a breaking point, at which I then said, okay, I either have to end this or I have to accept who I am. And this is when everything got better. After I finally accepted, I asked a friend, a gay friend, somebody I knew, but he didn't know that I was gay, and talked to him, and from there it all got better.
How was it coming up to, say, your family or your friends?
It was, in most cases, better than I anticipated. My mom took a bit of time, because she's very Catholic and a bit set in her ways and beliefs. With my father it was the easier part. I thought it would be the harder one, but he adapts his thoughts and his behaviors and his mindset when he gets new information, when he looks into a situation. And so it was very moving when he found out. My mom actually told him after I kind of had to tell her. There was no way out. There was a no way out situation. And so when he came home from work in the evening, he just said to me, hey, why didn't you tell me earlier? You're always going to be my son and I'm always going to love you. And I was blown away by that, because I was really scared. He was a Catholic man. But as I said, he just changes his mind when he comes across new information and does the right thing.
So what was the situation that you couldn't get out of?
Oh, what's a funny story. It was about 5 months after I told this first person that I was gay, and I met my first two friends, gay friends, and then I was hanging out with them, and eventually at a lake I met my first partner. We've been together for months. Then I was in hospital, had my tonsils removed, and I was really feeling bad, and I was just the first day at home, still recovering. He called me, he said, I'm on day off. He was a chef, and said, oh, just come to my place, I'll look after you. And so I did this, and I was in really bad shape. So when I returned a day later, my mom kind of was waiting for me behind the door and crying, and she said, I know something's wrong with you, and it must be drugs or a cult or something. And so I told her, I showed her a black and white picture of my boyfriend and said, oh, that's my boyfriend. However, in German, the word boyfriend and friend is the same. So she didn't realize at all what I was trying to tell her until I made it quite clear. And then she was, on the one hand, a bit relieved. On the other hand, she couldn't really handle it because that was a completely new thing for her. But yeah, she went to my father's workplace right away, told him, and then the other situation I just described unfolded in the evening. So it was a moving story. My younger brother listened at the door while I was telling my mom, so that was done as well. And I told my older brother briefly after.
How did it affect those relationships?
With my mom and my older brother initially thought I do need help and that it can be fixed. And my younger brother and my father were okay with it right away. It was a bit of a process for my mom and my older brother, but now they are okay with it as well. And they did a lot of research and reading and a lot of conversation, and then they kind of understood that it is not a choice and that it's nothing bad and nothing wrong with me. I just love a man.
What about coming up to your friends?
Was also better than expected. I think I found really, really good friends, and I didn't really lose any friends. I think I was lucky in that context, but this is because I started selecting the right people as friends quite early on in my life. Usually when you're young, you are friends with the people who are either in your neighborhood, your school, or you hang out with in clubs. But yeah, I didn't have too many friends when I was younger for two reasons. First, I was already pretty selective then. And secondly, I think I was just lacking the self-confidence of building up friendships because I knew I was different but couldn't handle it. So the little friends I had were mostly from the Catholic Church as well, from older boys I met, fellow older boys. Not that I was playing with them or anything, but we just shared the same basic values. And yeah, that built strong friendships, which are still alive now that I've been here in New Zealand for 4.5 years. When I was back a couple of weeks ago, we just caught up, and it was just like I haven't been away at all.
What are the basic values that you value in a friendship?
First and foremost, it's reliability. Do as you say and say as you do. I think this is the base on what you can build, and then it's trust as well. I do value trust a lot. And being there for each other, wanting the best for each other. I'd say these three things.
So why did you choose New Zealand?
A good question. After a very stressful year in England in my job, I decided I need a break, I need something else. Wanted to see more of the world instead of going back to Germany. And I wanted it to be an English-speaking country because it was the only other language I spoke apart from German. I thought about the United States then, but didn't quite feel right. Nice for a holiday destination, but yeah, it wasn't the right thing for me. And Australia seemed a bit too hot. I don't like the heat too much. So I was pretty much left with a choice between New Zealand and Canada. And both ranked very, very high. But New Zealand kind of made it. It seemed more exotic. It has a very, very good reputation in Germany as a holiday destination, as a great place. And it looked great in a lot of ranks. So I just thought, give it a go.
So you arrived here and then found your partner?
Yeah, that's right. I ran into him right away, you could say. I was looking on Trade Me and on Gay Romeo for a place to stay. On Gay Romeo, you can put your little bed and breakfast symbol. And he had one of those. So I was in contact with a couple of guys about a room to stay. And one of them was my partner, now my partner. And yeah, he just seemed the nicest, the sanest apartment right in the city. So I said, yep, I'll take the room. He picked me up at the airport. I moved in and never out.
Did you expect to come to New Zealand and find...
No, I just wanted to be here, have a fun, easy year, and bugger off again. And still here. I think this is how life plays. When you look for it, you never find it. Just be open, be yourself, be friendly, and you run into somebody.
So you've entered a couple of gay competitions. The first one was Mr. Gay New Zealand. Why did you do that?
Again, I did a bit of voluntary work when I was younger. While I was an altar boy, I planned youth camps. I was in the voluntary fire brigade. And I wanted to contribute to the society again, a bit to the community. But it was kind of not possible while I was in too many places with studying, with army service, with a bit of work here in Erlangen in the UK. So once I settled down here, and I've been at that point for 3 years in New Zealand when I thought about it, to do something, and there were never too many candidates from what I knew. So I thought, oh, in 2010, I could go for the competition in February 2011. But I went back with my partner to show him Europe in, when was it, January? And it was all a bit too close. So I said, no, it's not the right thing. And but when the competition for 2012 came around, I said, okay, now I've got the time. Now I'll give it a go and let's see how I can contribute. And my goal was from the very beginning that I would like to use the opportunity of interviews, especially mainstream media interviews, to try to make our society a bit more open towards homosexuality, to try to tell people it is good parenting to tell your children that there is something else out there apart from straight love, that it doesn't matter who you love, what counts is that you love, and having a position as Mr. Gay New Zealand, which gives you opportunity for interviews, is just a good platform for it.
What drives you in that respect? I mean, people enter those competitions for a whole variety of reasons. Why did you want to push those messages?
Because of my own experience, because it was so hard for myself to accept that I'm gay, and I think it would have been easier if my environment would have been a bit more open about it. Not even necessarily accepting, but just opener about it, a bit of communication about it. And I think this is what you can do with this position.
The Mr. Gay New Zealand competition, what did that involve?
It was the traditional stuff, you know, a couple of questions on the stage, presentation to the crowd, see how loud the crowd cheers, a bit of a sports competition, and then club wear, formal wear, and swimwear on the stage. And it was at the Big Gay Out and at Family Bar.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, I haven't. I was completely new to it.
Wow, how did it feel?
It was quite exciting, and yeah, I was surprised to win because I didn't really have much stage experience before.
Nervous?
Yeah, definitely, of course.
How do you cope with the nerves?
You just try to be yourself, and that always works for me. I don't really have specific strategies to calm myself down. I'll just try to do my best.
So you won?
Yes, I did.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
And what did that mean for you?
Oh, it meant for me that I could start doing whatever I wanted to do. However, because the Mr. Gay World competition was so close, it got straight in a couple of interviews, but then it got straight into, oh, you have to register there and you have to prepare for that. So I had pretty much 2 months to get everything sorted to go to South Africa, to Johannesburg for that competition. And apart from a couple of interviews, that was really all I did outside work in these 2 months.
Did it alter your self-confidence or the way you looked at yourself in any way?
No, I think I didn't. I think because it took me 10 years to realize who I am and be comfortable with it, it didn't really change much anymore because I gained my self-confidence in the process of coming out or accepting myself.
How did your family react when you said you were Mr. Gay New Zealand?
They were kind of okay with it, far away place, a bit proud maybe of achievement, but it wasn't a too big deal.
Travelling to Johannesburg for Mr. Gay World, was that something you had to fund yourself, or was that paid for?
No, that was paid for by the Mr. Gay World organisation.
Tell me about that. How did that all happen?
The national 25 countries with national winners of Mr. Gay competitions can go to the Mr. Gay World competition. Last year it was in Manila. This year it was in Johannesburg. Usually, the national director of a Mr. Gay competition is funding the trip to the Mr. Gay World competition, but there is not much structure in New Zealand. There is not really a company or person owning the competition. it was paid for by the Mr. Gay World Competition. So I flew over there beginning of April, and there was this intense competition over 5 days.
What happens over 5 days?
There are a handful of judges. I think that was 7 of them. They constantly keep an eye on you. They monitor your every move. You do sports challenges. You do a written exam on GLBT rides. You have a panel interview, which is pretty much like a job interview. They sit down with you. They want to discover what kind of person you are. They want to find out what your vision is in life, why you joined the competition. And then you also got the classical stuff at the end of the week, with a big show in a theater where you have to do a country wear, swim wear, formal wear on the stage. So it was a very intense competition with a very, very tight program, but exciting.
What was the hardest part for you?
The hardest part for me possibly was the outreach challenge. We went to Nicosis Haven, which is an orphanage for young children living with HIV, orphans, and seeing all these kids. And I kind of compared it to my own life and my own upbringing, where I thought I was sometimes alone, or where I was in a situation where I was missing a person I could relate to with my personal feelings. I thought what these kids must be going through is really terrible. But then again, this charity, Nicosis Haven, is giving them a bit of perspective and giving them a bit of life, and that was at the same time, while it was a very eye-opening experience, also a positive thing to see that.
What was it like mixing with gay competitors from around the world?
It was amazing. It was a absolutely stunning group. We met as strangers, but we really left as friends. Anytime if one of those guys came to New Zealand, I would anytime offer them my house to stay at. It was a very, very good atmosphere. We treated each other with respect, and friendships formed. We heard that the previous year it was a bit of elbowing and a bit of tough competition. But while we were competitive, we were also very, very friendly with each other. So it was a good group of people.
Why do you think these kind of competitions are important?
Because they highlight gay life, and they portray a bit more than what you usually see. Gay parades are really good, but a Mr. Gay World competition, which emphasizes on looking for, how it's called officially, an ambassador for gay and human rights, highlights that there is a serious background and that we still need to improve the image of gay men. And I think the Mr. Gay World competition does a fantastic job at that, showing off really good role models from all countries. Each of these candidates was a person you can look up to.
So what was it like on the night when you won?
It was very exciting, and it was very, very hard to get and to grasp and to understand. I was blown away, and it felt a bit like a dream. It didn't seem real. And then right away got dragged from one interview to the next, so and totally overwhelmed. So it was hard to say something very intelligently. But I think I made my way through somehow.
Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you would be standing, accepting, you know, Mr. Gay World, you know, when you were as a teenager?
Never, ever. Because I was a completely different person when I was young. I didn't have any self-confidence. I was shy. I felt often alone. And I think mainly because I was homosexual and couldn't come to terms with it. I couldn't have imagined at the age of 14, 15 that I would ever live abroad in a different country, or that I would ever accept my homosexuality, or that I would ever have a good life. But once I was accepting who I am and came to terms with it, it turned my life around. I became more self-confident. I enjoyed life. And it is a very, very good experience. I think a gay person has to think about themselves a lot more than a straight person who is just the norm kind of thing. And I also had the chance to make a It Gets Better video, and this reminded me a lot of my journey, because there are so many videos on this platform that tell you that it gets better, and it's not just an empty saying. It really does get better.
What are some of the opportunities that have come from being Mr. Gay World?
There are many fantastic opportunities. First and foremost, of course, the interviews where I can, as mentioned before, try to educate society a bit, spark discussions about homosexuality and about acceptance. And other fantastic opportunities are, of course, the traveling. I've got a budget to travel to all 5 continents around the world, which the Mr. Gay World organization is planning, suggesting tours for me, and then I hopefully can fit them all in. And therefore, I was earlier on this year in Antwerp and Amsterdam, and then Cologne, Nuremberg, and I came back here. And the next travel is going to be Africa, and it's all again about promoting gay and human rights in these places. Also, you will know there's more work to do in Africa than there is in Europe.
Within New Zealand itself, has there been kind of any negative reaction or negative response?
I think you always have a bit of opposition with homosexuality. It is something some people still find unacceptable, disgusting, for whatever reasons. So there's always going to be opposition on newspaper articles online where people can comment. There was both, of course, like in any discussion about gay marriage, homosexuality, gay adoption, whatever. There's always pro and cons. But I guess, like Obama put it this morning so nicely, there's many people saying horrible things about him, but he will always defend their right to do so. And I think this is quite right.
I guess when people are being negative, how do you now make sure that you remain confident? What are your ways of staying in a positive space?
Depends on no matter which perspective actually it is. If people are being negative, it hardly affects me because I've been on my journey. If somebody wants to insult me or wants to make me feel bad about me being gay, I think he's frankly 20 years too late. That doesn't work anymore. I know who I am. I don't take it personally anymore. That's the one side of the question. The other side is when I come across somebody insulting me or talking badly about gay life, I try to have a fruitful discussion about it, a constructive discussion. For example, in Queenstown, for Gay Ski Week, I stayed at a hotel and sitting in this bar one evening, there was 2 guys talking about all these gays in town and they might hit on you and what to best do if a gay guy hits on you. And one guy said to the other, oh, you just have to brush them off very rudely and it'll be all right. And so I was sitting there in this bar as well and thought, oh, well, I feel the need to say something. So I said, hey, guys, actually, I don't think you have to brush somebody off rudely. Just a no thanks would do. And they looked at me a bit strangely, and then conversation carried on. And then eventually I also said, hey, why don't you just take it as a compliment? They wouldn't be hitting on you if you were some ugly somebody. And the discussion evolved a bit, and what I noticed in this discussion was they've never thought about their point of view. I guess they've always been told or made jokes about it in school that gays are strange, are different, or whatever. And but talking about it and giving them a different point of view, I think I could see in their faces how they started thinking about it. And this is how I go about it now if I hear something like that. And often enough, it's a fruitful discussion. Sometimes, you know, when you just deal with drunken people, there's no point in a discussion. You just walk away.
And what about when you're dealing with, say, a teenager who is, anxious about who they might be?
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that?
I get it actually a lot through emails, through Facebook. I get a lot of people writing to me with a whole lot of variety of problems. If a teenager approaches me, I try to take the kind of usual counseling approach to first ask more questions to discover what's happening, to determine if there's immediate danger, and if there's immediate danger, of course, I'll just take the appropriate steps, try to get in touch with authorities if I can, or of course with the permission of the person who's getting in touch with me. Otherwise, it's really just by asking the right questions, trying to get the person to give the right answers themselves, because it's a journey where you have to make your decisions yourself. You can't tell people what to do. They have to discover it themselves, but you can guide them with the right questions. So that is what I'm trying to do.
Has that happened where you've actually had to maybe forward it on to a counsellor or to another authority?
It hasn't happened that I had a case that was that bad, but what I do, if it seems out of my expertise, I refer them on, if they are within New Zealand, for example, to Outline, where the specialist sits. Or if it is an international case, I just hop on the internet and you can always find a gay organization which provides telephone advice or whatever, and just tell them, just go there, you can remain anonymously and they will help you, they will be there for you.
Did you expect that when you kind of entered Mr. Gay World, that's maybe what you'd be doing?
I always kind of think about the things I'm planning, I'm doing. I'm a very organized person. And I anticipated that this is going to be part of it, but I didn't think it would be that much, that big.
How has this changed you?
Oh, how has it changed me? It's a good question. I think I should ask it my friends if it changed me, or I don't feel different. But maybe it has changed me without me noticing. Nothing better than a bit of external feedback sometimes.